Reading this morning is John chapter 21 and verses 15 to 25, the last verses in John's Gospel. So it's John chapter 21 and it's verses 15 to 25. It's titled, Jesus Reinstates Peter. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Oh, yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, well, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, oh, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, well, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Well, Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. That's the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? But when Peter saw him, he said, well, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. And because of this, the rumour spread amongst the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus didn't say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, well, what is that to you? And this is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. And we know that his testimony is true. And Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Here ends the reading.
Thanks, Gay. G'day, everyone. My name's Mike, one of the pastors here. I've been captivated by that last verse this week. Did it captivate you as well? Wow, it just seems so strong. Whether John was exaggerating or not, there are enough books in the whole world that would not be able to record everything that Jesus has done. Whether it's an exaggeration or not, I think what he's saying is, this is just but the tip of the iceberg. Wait till you see and hear more. Almost a to be continued point, isn't it, of that book. This is our last week in John's Gospel, and I think it's a great opportunity to pause, to reflect and to hear from one another. What are some of these other things that Jesus is doing and has done in our community and in our life? Now, that's going to make you feel awkward, I think. Many of you, we're going to hear from one another. Did pre-warn you in an email on Friday, but I want to assure you that this is challenged by choice. Okay, so I'm not dragging anyone to say anything, but I do want to invite you, and Meg, thank you so much for praying so beautifully, to slow down, to pause, to listen and discern the voice of God, and what's he been teaching you as we've journeyed through John's Gospel. Maybe you haven't been here for any of the talks on John's Gospel. That's fine. Just enjoy today and reflect on what's God teaching you at this point in your life. I also want to put your mind at rest even more. This is going to be my shortest sermon of all time. Okay, so I'm not doing a sermon and then we're going to invite people to share. The people sharing is part of the sermon. So 5 minute max, I'm going to frame it. You can time me and then I'm going to be opening it up. Bit of a challenge. If no one comes, then we're going to sit here quite awkwardly because Carol asked me to keep going for at least 40 minutes because they've got a big video they're watching. So we'll see how we go. I emailed out this poster from the Bible Project earlier in the week. It's very busy, isn't it? you would have got an email. Don't even worry about any detail there. When I look at that, when I opened it, I felt like, just as Meg prayed, it looks a bit like my life. Chaotic, busy, cluttered. Maybe it feels a little bit like your life as well. But actually, when you slow down and when you zoom in, that we can't do at the moment on this picture, and when you actually look and pay attention to what's going on in John's gospel, you notice the beauty, the intricate detail of how God is at work. And that's what I'm hoping that we can do today. I don't know about you, the challenge to slow down, to pay attention to what God's doing, that probably sums up my biggest discipleship challenge. So I'd like to pray that we'll actually be able to slow down and reflect and be encouraged this morning. So how about we ask God? Father God, you know how cluttered and chaotic and confusing our lives can feel, even right now. Father, give us the ability to be fully present in this moment, in this place. Help us to be present to not only listen to each other deeply, but especially to be present to the power and prompting of your Holy Spirit. Lord, you're always with us, but we're not always with you. We just want to be present and to be able to listen to your voice now. Lord, I ask if it's courage, through the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray you'll give us courage to be able to share and speak. And Lord, maybe it's courage to stop speaking and listen, and I ask you to grant that. We thank you for this journey in John's Gospel, and I pray these next 30 minutes or so of reflecting on what we've discovered afresh will both be encouraging for our souls and glorifying to your name. Amen. So this picture is overwhelming, so how about I just narrow it down a little bit, and let's just look at the bookends for a second. John chapter 1 and John 21, the two ends of John's Gospel. In John 1, Jesus is introduced with seven titles in the first chapter alone. We see that Jesus is fully human. We see that Jesus is from Nazareth. We see he is the coming, the promised Messiah, the King, the Teacher of Israel, the Son of God, and the Lamb of God who would die for the sins of the world. We had it all just in John chapter 1. And then now jumping to the end of John's Gospel, in John chapter 20, just before what we just read, John actually is really clear and he tells us the purpose for which he's written the book. He said, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So that's the purpose of John's Gospel. That's the purpose of what we've been doing really for the last term and a half in looking at John's Gospel, so that we may believe and have life and life to the full in his name. Then here in this epilogue in John 21, we picked it up halfway through, but just beforehand, we read that the disciples hadn't caught any fish. Remember, they were out fishing, they were fishing all night, they hadn't caught a thing. And then they hear Jesus from the beach saying, hey, throw the net over the other side of the boat. We're spending all of next term thinking about practicing the way. What does it mean to actually follow Jesus? And here, I think the disciples sum it up in one action. What does it mean to follow Jesus? It means to listen and obey, even when it doesn't always make sense. They've been fishing all night, but they did throw their net over the other side of the boat, as Jesus told them, And we know what happened. I think 153 fish suddenly pulled in, and they knew that Jesus is Lord. So as we start to reflect today, I wonder, what is it that you've heard Jesus say to you as we've been journeying through John's Gospel? Maybe it's a particular verse that stood out for you. And like the disciples with the net, what would it mean to not only hear what Jesus has said, but to obey it? Then, as Gay read out for us, from verse 15, Jesus asks Peter if he loves him, and he instructs Peter to feed his sheep and follow him. I don't know if you remember Andrew's talk from John 10. You remember that? Jesus is the good shepherd. And he said, following Jesus as the good shepherd means we do so comprehensively, unconditionally, and personally, and that we be little shepherds to others. And he brought us to this verse in John 21. So as we reflect on John's gospel, as you start thinking about what God's been teaching you, let me ask you, do you love Jesus? That's what John's gospel is inviting us to respond to. Are you following Jesus comprehensively, unconditionally, personally? And are you willing to feed his sheep? Are you willing to be mini shepherds to one another, helping others love and follow Jesus? Others at home, in our community, in our life group. How can we be mini shepherds to one another? Then we come to this fascinating question that Peter asked Jesus in verse 21. He points to John and he says, Lord, what about him? Remember that question that Gay just read out? Do you remember Jesus' reply? He said, what is it to you? You must follow me. As I read this again this week, reflecting myself, I feel like I'm in a culture, I don't know if you feel the same, but I feel like I'm in a culture that trains me to compare myself to others. And I was challenged afresh by Jesus' reply, what about him, you ask? What is that to you? You must follow me. I feel like this is timely as we think about sharing, as I encourage you to share your reflections and your story. Can we? Is it possible as a community that we break out of this cultural conditioning of comparing ourselves to others? It's your story. Let's stop comparing our gifts, our maturity, our story with other people, and even let's stop comparing our opportunities to glorify God. As Peter shares here, he's actually comparing the opportunity to glorify God in his death. So let's even stop comparing our funerals. Let's just simply focus on taking our eyes off ourselves, our eyes off each other, and fixing our eyes on Jesus and running the race. There we go. Hopefully it just took 5 minutes. As our roadmap for the next 25 minutes or so, I have to fulfill my promise to Carol. We're going to take 25 minutes. I've actually invited two friends, Josh and Ben, to each take 2 or 3 minutes to reflect on what they've learned. I've given them time to prepare. There's no other plants in this room. I've given no one else time to prepare. But I'd love them to come and share. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to create space for you to reflect yourself. If you're a reflective thinker, if you're a verbal processor like me, I'm going to give you a chance to chat to people around you. Either is fine. What's God been encouraging you with? How have you been encouraged to follow Jesus? And then I'm going to move the microphone, remove all possible barriers to coming up here. I'm going to move the microphone to the front of the room. I've also got a roaming mic that I can bring to you. So there's just cancel all of those potential barriers that are in your mind right now. And we're going to create the space for a few people to come and share. When? Okay, Josh. Thanks, mate. And by the way, I haven't intentionally chosen young dads. I'm maybe a bit of a young dad, I'd love to hear from different voices in the room. So if you don't fit the profile of these guys that are about to share it, we especially want to hear from you next.
Good morning. So I actually really love the book of John. Hey, like I think it's quite accessible. The way that Jesus describes himself in sort of metaphors, the light of the world and the bread of life. For me, like reading the Bible, there's so you can just dwell on those images about Jesus being whatever he the I am statements, and there's so much in there. But one thing that really struck me was that chapter 10, when he says I'm the good shepherd, and I was just reflecting on that this week, about Jesus being the good shepherd, and to me that's him saying, I won't let you down. He's already given us proof that he's laid down the ultimate sacrifice for us, and so if he's done that, how will he not also give us all things? You know, the idea of he's displayed his love for us on the cross, and so him being a good shepherd means I can trust him, I can follow him without reservation, without thinking, oh, that he might not have my good at heart. And so that's what I was thinking about this week, that he's the good shepherd. And in another way, he was sort of saying to me, you can come and depend on me and follow me and listen to my voice, and I'll lead you to where I want you to be. And I kind of thought about, I kind of feel in my life personally, there's so many things vying for my attention and trying to choke out Jesus's voice. There's all sorts of apps now, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, I don't know, all the rest of them. And then not to mention all the streaming services that we've got. And so throughout your day, you might not even get a chance to have one original thought of your own. You're kind of like bombarded with all these other thoughts and voices. And for me, I just was struck that I think I need to take more time to hear from Jesus. One thing that I've done recently is just downloaded... it's called The Bible in 1 Year, and basically I put that on as I'm heading to work, and I just listen to God's word, and that has reoriented my heart and my mind, so that I'm starting my day off understanding who I am and who he is, and then it's changed the way that I go through my work, and as Mike said, my eyes are focused on Jesus. They're not focused on myself, or they're not focused on anything else, but it's kind of been a great way to reorient my life, and so that's one way that I think I've the book of John has affected me, is listening to my shepherd.
Should go up here. I picked almost exactly the same verse as Josh. You're looking at the whole series, which is fantastic. But the big thing that stuck out to me in reading, particularly John 10, just looking at the idea of Jesus being a shepherd and us just being a sheep, just the simplicity and the beautiful, just the beauty and the simplicity of the relationship between. It's just so easy to look at Jesus and look at the way that Jesus lived and all of the things that Jesus did in his life, and to create this list of, okay, well, Jesus spent time in solitude. Jesus prayed often. He prayed for the sick. He had his disciples see. He knew the scripture back to front. It's so easy to come up with this list of things according to the way that we perceive Jesus to have lived, and almost do it in reverse. Which is why I saw her up on the screen before the Practicing the Way series, which I'm so excited for, because the order is amazing. It's be with Jesus to become like him, to do the works. And what I've been swept up in for ages is, honestly, for so much of my life, so much of my Christian life, is doing the works so I can become like him, so I can classify myself as with him, and either to alleviate guilt in myself, to demonstrate to others that I am with him, all this kind of stuff. So my mind has just been taken over recently, and it's the only thing that I want to talk about, and it's kind of like bubbling out of my chest. It's the idea that he doesn't ask anything of us other than just to be with him. It's not up to us to transform ourselves. It's just up to us to be in his presence. And the transformation and everything that happens in your life that the stuff that you want to do in your life with him, all that happens just by being in his presence. And that's so exciting to me. That's amazing to me. That's on my heart. That's big on my heart. That's
amazing. Thanks, guys. Living examples of our vision, right? Lives transformed through Christ-centered community. Thank you for sharing your story so we can be a Christ-centered community and fix our eyes on him. Now, you're not going to be anywhere near as articulate as those two guys because they've actually had a couple of days to think, okay? But I want to create the space now, a couple of minutes, to reflect yourself on the journey, even have the Bible open, flick through. But if possible, if you have the courage to share with someone around you, just to think, to share, to listen, even if you're totally new here, just what do you think about what you've just even heard? That's great. So enjoy a chat for a couple of minutes and I'll invite a few people to come up here. Okay, thanks to Frank for setting up the microphone here. I've also got a roaming mic. So if you prefer not to stand up and you just want to put your hand up, I'll bring it here. If I can just ask one thing, something I'm really struggling with in regathering as a community is remembering people's names. So if you could just introduce yourself before you share, that would be really helpful for me and I'm sure for other people as well. So just literally a minute. Maybe you need a bit of a nudge from a person you share with. Hey, why don't you share that? It's great. Give him a little elbow. Go for it.
Just quickly, my name's Emma. And Ben, I'm so excited to hear what you said because I'm so glad that you've learned that at your age because that's only something I learned about 3 or 4 years ago. So I was just really excited to hear you be excited because I'm so excited about it as well. Just that concept of being with Jesus, that's actually what we need to do and everything else flows from that and it works, doesn't it, Ben? It works. I know, it's amazing. So, the new series is going to be great. What I wanted to share, it was actually something from the John series back in February. And I put asterisk next to things that I want to remember. And something we learnt was, well, something I wrote down is that I need to see the world through the lens of the kingdom of God and let this influence how I live. And I think, well, I've been praying that God would help me to do that because sometimes it's just remembering to see things through the lens of God. You want to, but then you get busy and you forget to do that. So I feel like God's been helping me to do that. And it really changes the frustrations of day-to-day living if everything is seen through the lens of the kingdom and what is God doing here. And just a quick example, the other night I had to drive my son Zach, who is 19, out to pretty much Lithgow to go camping. And we got there in the evening and one of his 19-year-old friends had called me during the day saying, look, I actually need to come back. Can you bring me back to Sydney? And I said, yeah, of course. But what I was actually thinking was, oh, there goes my alone time, you know, listening to my whatever. But then God prompted me to think, okay, see this through the lens of the kingdom of God. This is for a reason. Don't know what the reason is. Might never know the reason. But it's not random. This is happening for some kingdom purpose. And this is a young man who I've known for a number of years, a friend of Zach. I'm not quite sure, he has a Christian family. I'm not quite sure where he is at spiritually. He's definitely got some struggles going on. And so I thought, wow, I get to spend a couple of hours in the car with this kid. Not that I'm going to force anything, but, you know, who knows? It's just seeing it through the lens of the kingdom. Now, as it was, we've got a music meeting later on today where we're picking songs, and I had a playlist queued up of 20 worship songs. So I said to him, well, you're going to have to listen to worship music all the way home. So I got him to be my scribe and write down the ones that I liked. But I was praying that he would listen to the lyrics and be impacted by that. So no idea what the purpose of all of that was, but I do believe that God was in it and it all happened for a reason. And so instead of feeling frustrated about having my, you know, time alone in the car gone, it actually became, I guess, a curious, hopeful time of what is God doing here. I don't know, but God is doing something. So just seeing everything through the lens of the kingdom of God, everything that happens in your day really changes the way that you feel about it.
Thank you, Emma. Beautiful. I'm learning to become super comfortable with silence.
Hello, my name is Kathy. I just wanted to share that I had to run a home group at short notice on Thursday, and we did this. So we watched the video. So that might look really busy, but you actually watch, there's an 8-minute video on each one, and it draws it as you listen, and it was really good. And we did it as a summary of the John series, and then we split up into little groups, and people talked about what they had remembered from different sermons or what this had prompted. So I just encourage you, if you look at that and think, gee, that looks really busy, watch the videos. It was really good. And apparently there's one on every book in the Bible, so that's really interesting too. And one of the things that came up for me, I guess, although there's been so many, but in John 16, where Jesus says, I've told you these things so that in you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And I just find those words really, really encouraging. And I think I've just been challenged that I need, I would like to be praying and allowing the Spirit to help me more, and to be my advocate, and to bring comfort and guidance in my life. And I think that that's, you know, something that I feel like I haven't really tapped into that a lot lately, and I'd like to do that more. So that was encouraging for me.
Thank you, Kathy. If you want me to bring the microphone to you, or... yeah, thanks, Debbie. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you for leading the way.
Okay. One thing that has always astounded me in this story is the fact that Jesus had just died and risen again. That would be what the most important action in all of history, surely. It was the most wonderful thing that had ever happened, and he was sort of up there. You know, he had done what God told him to do. Absolutely wonderful. And then what did he do a few days later? He went out, put together some wood, struck the match. No, they didn't have matches, whatever. Got the fire going and dirtied his hands, picking up some fish and cooking them for his friends. And whatever we did, God can give us wonderful, wonderful jobs to do. But however great the job is that we do for him, we have no reason for pride, because Jesus dirtied his hands.
It's beautiful. Thank you, Debbie. You've preempted the Practicing the Way series beautifully, as Ben shared, like doing the works of Jesus. One of those key parts of doing the works of Jesus is actually eating and drinking with others and getting our hands dirty and cooking fish maybe for others. And a beautiful picture. Thank you. Anyone else? Thanks, Kate.
I'm a bit like Emma. I put endless notes through my Bible. It's very old. I can't get rid of it because I love my notes. So I'm just going to read a couple of things that I've written in the Bible. This I think is great. This is chapter 1 in John. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I think that's pretty terrific. Here's another note I wrote. Jesus is, this relates to chapter 2, Jesus is the true master of the banquet. The banquet we will share with him in heaven. Then there's something else I just wanted to read to you all. You probably all love this, because this comes from Glenda's funeral. Glenda Dabernay, remember that? This is I captioned this part that was read out at Glenda's funeral. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." And that was so Glenda. That's all. Just some things.
Thank you, Kay. Thank you so much.
Over the last couple of years, I think this is the best place to be to hear the Word of God. I think you might agree when we did the story of the whole Bible, and we've started being more explicit, and it's just been incredible. I think all the things I thought I knew, I didn't know, I didn't understand. And that's what I found about John this time going through, just one of them especially when Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world." I don't know where I've been, but I wasn't aware of where Jesus was when he said that. The end of the Feast of the Tabernacles, in the dark, and suddenly he says, "I am the light of the world." And it must have thrown the Jews. I mean, they said, "It can't be." But all of those sort of points have been retold to us, and we did know them, but we know them in a newer... There's always a new dimension. That's why the Bible can be read again and again, because there's always something new to learn from and to understand. And just that point that was made this morning about people in the world, what they see of us is what they may see of Jesus. And just a little story. Last night I was watching part of the Lego movie with my grandson, and he said to me, "What do you think was the best part of the story, Mama?" And I thought quickly, because I mean, Lego movie. Anyway, he said, "I like the part where the good man told the bad man that he wasn't really bad at all." And I thought, you know, just that observation of what he was looking for and what meant most is what other people are reading in us. So it was a good down-to-earth example of looking for the best in people, and people looking for the best in us of what they know about Christianity.
Thank you, Penny. Thanks so much. Thanks, John.
I'm John. It's been a really good series. I have enjoyed it. I must admit I felt a bit isolated over the last 5 weeks. I had shoulder surgery about 6 weeks ago, and I haven't been able to go to our small group. I haven't been able to go to my Gideon prayer meeting because I can't drive at the moment. And we haven't been able to come to church for some of that time, but we've been able to watch the sermons online, like some of you out there. But some of the things I gleaned, I suppose, is that we're not by ourselves. Sometimes life doesn't go as we expect it to go, and we have difficult things coming on. But I was really encouraged this week. I'm involved with the Gideons, and I've been contacting some of our schools, and I hadn't heard back from Pennant Hills High for about 2 months. And Mitchell, the young Christian studies teacher who's been there for nearly 2 years now, rang me up and said, "Oh, look, I just realised that I hadn't been given an email asking to come into the school." So he contacted me this week, and we've organised to be able to do Year 7, 8 and 9 for the Christian Studies kids, because we haven't been there for 3 years and we've lost contact. So it's just really encouraging to see, even though we're going through our own stuff, God is still working. He's still there, and he does encourage us. So it just reminded me also of, you know, Jesus, when he was preaching in different times, the Jews wanted to stone him. They wanted to throw him off cliffs, but it wasn't his time. It all happened in God's time, and that's what happens with our lives too. We sometimes think our lives is a mess, and we don't know what's happening, but God's with us all the time, and that's just really encouraging. Thanks.
Thanks, John. If you'd like me to bring the microphone to you, I'm happy to. Time for one or two more people, if you want. Thanks, Gay.
Just when we did John 15, and Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches," And I've always just thought of that, oh yes, I'm just stuck onto Jesus and he'll feed me and everything will be fine. But I think it was Andrew, and really it's hard. We've got to be grafted into the life of Jesus. And he said something like a decorated Christmas tree, which we all love, don't we? I went out with my dad and we used to chop a tree down, a real one, decorated on holidays. But Andrew said, actually, that's dying on the inside as soon as you chop it down. So this beautiful, colourful tree that we almost worshipped for a few weeks was dying on the inside. And that's us if we're not grafted into Jesus to grow. He said decay is easy, which it is. The world is, and Satan, very tricky, very insidious. And my friend was talking to me about this and said, it's not just that you're grafted onto Jesus to hold tight. He props you up and he's with you. And we've just been through a funeral and his family issues, and he does prop you up. So that's what I learned.
Thank you, Gay. Thank you. Thanks, Michael.
It's regarding that verse. No one takes it literally. It is well known. It's what they call a hyperbole. A hyperbole is a literary device that exaggerates to make a point. It's a bit like, I'll tell you something like, you tell your child, let's call him Little Johnny. Little Johnny, I told you a million times to tidy your room. Of course, you didn't tell your child a million times. 10^6, 1 with 6 zeros, you told him maybe a dozen times. So that verse there should not be interpreted literally. It's just a hyperbole. What's being emphasized there is that Jesus did so many things that they weren't recorded. Simple as that.
Thanks, Michael. And that's what I love about living in community, that we continue to get to see those things and hear those things, and he's continuing to do amazing things. I'm going to move into a time of prayer, same style. I'd like to invite a few people to pray for us. I'll bring you the microphone, but so I know who I'm bringing it to. Can I have two or three people to thank us, to thank God for this journey through John's Gospel, to really just affirm what we've heard today? But let's really spend some time celebrating and thanking God for allowing the time to actually see the many things that Jesus has done, and to believe that there are many more things that he continues to do. So you just put up your hand if you're willing to pray. I haven't prompted anyone to do this. I'll just bring the microphone. Thank you, prayers. Where are you? Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Liz. One more. Thanks, John. And I'll close this off. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this study of John's Gospel. We thank you that you've spoken into our lives through your living word. And yeah, we thank you that as we spend time in your word, you transform us through your Spirit's work in our hearts. So we pray that you will give us a greater desire to spend time alone with you. Help us to be listening to you and be following your promptings. And we thank you that you've given us opportunities to connect with outsiders of your kingdom, because you want to bring them into your kingdom, and you will do that in your perfect timing and way. So help us to rest in your care and to be guided by you each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you for community. Father, you've brought us into a community to be together, and we just thank you that we can read your word together, we can study your word, and we can find you inside the pages. And Father, we just pray that we won't keep it to ourselves, we'll be your light in the world and tell others while we have time. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
God, we just thank you that you love us and that you're with us. And I just ask that as we go into these next few weeks and into this next series, that you just draw us further and further into your presence, and you open our minds to understand and comprehend the vast and unimaginable identity that you've set before us. You bring us back to who you created us to be, and continue through revelation and conviction just to speak to us in our quiet time so that we can understand who we're meant to be in the world. Amen.
Father, we're so thankful for the privilege to be in community, to be able to gather in community, to be able to hear one another, even if we're not physically here, to be able to encourage each other all the more as the day of your return draws nearer. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to continue to have a culture in this community where we speak truth to one another in love, where we share openly and vulnerably and transparently about how you're encouraging and helping and inspiring us to follow you. Lord, I pray that we will be able to truly fix our eyes on you and to encourage others in our community to do the same. Lord, just thank you for the little windows into people's lives today, to know that you are transforming us individually and as a community. And Lord, we want to continue to be focused on you and fixing our eyes on you. And I just pray that you'll help us in the midst of the busyness and the challenges of life to really continue to be able to reflect, continue to be able to learn and grow and hear your voice and how you're encouraging us to fix our eyes on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone. So